In the Mass, the priest prays at the foot of the altar, "Show us, O Lord, thy mercy, and grant us thy salvation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen." St. Peter, first Pope, Holy Father, we Catholics call a Pope. St. Peter was first a fisherman, as we hear in today's Gospel, before Christ called him to be a fisher of men. One of St. Therese's happiest childhood memories, I mean the little flower, was of going fishing with her father. Well, after a bit, she would leave him to continue his fishing, and she would go off to meditate from God's book, which is nature. And she recalls that fishing with her father was one of the ways she learned to pray. She lost her mother when she was very young, and in a way, the whole of her childhood was centered on her father. One long experience of the tenderest and the most watchful paternal love, God's special providence at work. It's different for the fatherless, and it's difficult for children of cold, distant, demanding dads, or of absentee or angry fathers. It's difficult for them to conceive of what God must be, of what God is, of what St. Therese intuitively grasped as a little girl when she first learned her Our Father who art in heaven. Her childlike soul pictured him as just like Papa, just like her daddy, Louis Martin. She attributed to God, but to an infinite degree, all of the goodness and the tenderness and the care she received from her own father. For Therese, God was a father, her father, and the most affectionate of fathers. This is the essence of the gospel, Our Father. Therese, far from being the sort of a sugary saint or maybe the miracle machine which people take her for, is first of all the living commentary on the gospel, and the best because the simplest. Her mission is to make us understand that, like her, we are God's children, infinitely loved with a fatherly love by God. There are, you know, so many different ways to follow the Mass, to see it, to pray it. But I thought today, as we continue our study of the Holy Sacrifice, it would not be out of place to meditate on the prayers this morning in the light of fatherhood, God and your own father, and Father at the altar. And all of this, as the Mass itself always has, a serene and a joyful confidence. You see it throughout the Mass. Now, last Sunday, remember, we studied the Confiteor, how bowed over, like Jesus in the garden, with grief and contrition, we went to God to confess everything. St. Therese, no matter what she did, as soon as she came to her senses, there's some famous story about how she wanted the maid once to reach her something from the top shelf, and the maid said no, and she called her a spoiled brat, and the maid got very upset and shrilly denounced her. Well, before the maid got to the father, she did, crying and saying, "Tell all, I have to tell everything that I've done." Well, that's what we do when we pray the Confiteor. Now, as the priest, having finished the Confiteor, prepares himself to ascend the altar, he straightens up He had been bowed over. Now he just bows a little bit. It's a slight bow, and his eyes are still cast down. He goes up, not into the ship, but to the altar. The altar is a ship set on the sea of eternity, the infinite compassionate love of God. And there, the priest does not preach, but he practices what we preach, to answer the call of love, to give back our all to God. Jesus, my God and my all. Like a confident child, like Therese, we go free of all care, unperturbed, walking in the light, even when it's pretty dark inside the soul. The Mass is a sacrifice. Each Sunday, there is a death. But the three or four little prayers we first look at today, which we say after the Confiteor is done, are like the cries of children, trusting, not self-conscious or hesitating, but confident. Knowing you are loved. That's why. That's why you were forgiven. And so the priest prays, Thou wilt turn, O Lord, and bring us to life, and thy people shall rejoice in thee. And then the second one is my favorite. Show us, O Lord, thy mercy. Grant us thy salvation. Remember now, the prayers at the foot of the altar represent Advent, the 4,000 symbolical years of waiting for the coming of the Savior. Ostende nobis Domine, misericordiam tuam. Who is the mercy of the Father, if not Jesus? That's the point of the Mass. That's the point of the Incarnation. That's the point of religion, the Catholic Church. Give me Jesus, as the spiritual sings. Show us Jesus. That's what we're praying for, the image of the Father at the consecration, at the elevation, so that we may in turn show the Father his Son, Jesus, for mercy, for salvation. The last versicle is one that's often said on almost any occasion. Domine, saudi oratione meam, O Lord, hear my prayer, and let my cry come unto thee. Next comes an old Hebrew greeting. It's from the book of Ruth, which was used by the apostles. In a sense, it symbolizes the old Latin Mass. Everybody knows it. Dominus vobiscum. The Lord be with you. So many meanings for this very simple salutation, which is said or sung 8 times in each Mass. But I want you to think of it today as half dad checking on his kids. Are you with me? Are you praying still? Are you paying attention? And the other half has the sense of, God bless you. We priests say that a lot. Bishop Sheen, Father Wish, and the Irish used to say, God love you, or God love you. Don't take it for granted, though. Believe yourself to be loved by the Father. That's so important that the great Archbishop Lefebvre chose this line from St. John's Epistle as the device or the motto on his bishop's coat of arms. Well, after the greeting, the server answers, and with thy spirit. In other words, the server is saying, and also with what makes you to be you, Father, your priestly soul. May the Lord be there. Next, the priest, who's still bent over a little bit, he opens or unclasps his hands. He doesn't scoop them up as he does at certain other times. He just opens them and closes them again as he prays, Oremus, let us pray. That's always a good idea. And then he stands up straight and he ascends the altar, right foot first, because every movement of the priest is dictated by the rubrics. He rather rushes up, says Monsignor Knox. I think that priests in the old days tended to keep moving. They were rather brisk in their movements. But when you see the priest go up to the altar, think sometimes about a father who's going home after he's been gone for quite a while. And his family's waiting there, his loved ones. So he hurries. The priest hurries into the Holy of Holies. But he goes alone. He alone may enter there. He leaves us behind, conscious of the work he alone may and must do. Again, it's just like the Father. Men, be fathers. There are things which only you can do, and you must do them. But the children are there, and the children want to be helpful, and so they say, what can I do? Let me help. You can. You pray for him as he goes about his awesome task alone at the altar. Yes, Father's just confessed his sins, and we said a Miseriato for him a moment before, but still the priest is thinking of the psalm, Lord, who shall stand in thy holy place? And so the priest prays silently for himself as he goes up. Take away our iniquities, that we may be worthy to enter with pure minds into the Holy of Holies. The altar is more than Moses' tabernacle or Jerusalem's temple with its mercy seat and the cherubim of gold behind the veils. The altar is the Holy of Holies. Our altar perpetuates as well both the wood of Holy Thursday's Last Supper table and the wood of Good Friday's cross, but also the stone of sacrifice, the stone of the tombs of the saints. No wonder Father, as soon as he gets up, bows and he greets the altar with a holy kiss, because a kiss is a holy thing, remember. He bends over to kiss the altar, just as the father would bend over to kiss his little ones or children who are already tucked into bed. The saints whose relics are enclosed there in the altar stone are our friends who sleep the sleep of peace, but we wake them to come with us to the Father's throne. We beseech thee, O Lord, the priest prays, and as he's praying that, he's bowed just a little bit moderately, and he has his hands joined, and the longer part of his fingertips rest on the edge of the altar. By the merits of the saints, whose relics are here, then he kisses it, and of all the saints, that thou wouldst vouchsafe to forgive. Now he goes to the singular, to forgive me, all my sins. St. Vincent Ferrer here is thinking of the wise men coming from the east with their three gifts, going into the house of Bethlehem and adoring the Holy Child and making their offerings. St. Francis de Sales is with the Passion, and he sees the priest ascending the altar as Christ offering himself to his Father with utter trust, ready to suffer and to die for for our salvation. And the kiss, of course, makes him think of Judas and betrayal. But we're children today, and we cry out with confidence. We know the Father's love, even as the Father leaves us to go up and to do the work he alone can do. We watch and we pray and we look for Jesus, who is our salvation. Show us thy mercy. God bless you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.